Today I will be reading Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to the commanded to death and crucified him. But we hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb earlier in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had ever seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at a table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord have risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread.
I feel so good. I got Jesus and my family taking care of me. They gave me all the clothes I wear. They gave me all the food I need. They gave me a place to sleep. I got Jesus and my family taking care of me. said, I feel so good. I said, I feel so good. I said, I feel so good. I got Jesus and my family taking care of me. They gave me the clothes I wear. They gave me all the food I need. They gave me a place to sleep. I got Jesus and my family taking care of me. I said, I feel so good. I said, I said, I feel so good. I got Jesus and my family taking care of me. Jesus and my family taking care of me. I got Jesus and my family taking care of me.
Taking care of us.
Yes.
And I would not dare continue to prolong the song, but that is my theme song. Amen. Thank God for the angelic singers. Give them another hand. The levy for. Thank you. of all of our missionary members, our sisters who have fallen. Certainly, we funeralized or celebrated the life of Sister Theodosia Boston on yesterday, and on Friday, excuse me. And we continue to remember her as well as all missionary sisters who have gone to be with the Lord. Amen.
Thank God for so many wonderful blessings and so many open doors of brand new mercy. That's why I praise you, and for this I give you praise. For waking me up this morning,
that's why I praise you.
For starting me on my way,
that's why I praise you.
For letting me see the sunshine,
that's why I praise you.
Of a brand new day, a brand new mercy, along with each new day.
That's why I praise you.
That's why. Every mountain.
The Lord our God is an awesome God. Amen. The Lord our God is an awesome God. In that in every mountain, he's brought us over. Through every valley, he's seen us through. That's why we praise him. That's why we honor him. That's why we glorify him. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. For every mountain, he's brought us over. And even in the midst of the valley, you know, in the valley we grow. But nevertheless, every mountain, God has brought us over, which is why it's awesome to give God praise, honor, and glory. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We thank you because you brought us over. You've carried us through, God. You've wiped our tears away. You've been a shield, a protector, a keeper. Father, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Father, we thank you for you are a very present help in the midst of trouble. And Lord, as we assemble here today, Lord, we look unto you. You're the author, the finisher of our faith. We ask that you bless us as we look into your word. We ask that you strengthen us, keep us, and never let us be the same again. We will honor you and we will glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. I first give honor to God to whom all honor is due, amen? It's kind of hard to stand up after a song like that because it just takes you into worship, amen? I do give honor to Jesus Christ, my Savior, and to the Holy Spirit, my Keeper. To Reverend Dr. Kylon Middleton, it's an honor to be here, and I thank you for allowing me to stand. To Sister Sandra Ford, such an electronic, magnificent, dynamic leader. And she's such an encouraging person. And just communicating with her just made me all excited. I was so excited to come here because when I arrived, I'm here among friends. These are the missionaries. I know the missionaries, amen? So to the missionaries of which I am so excited to be a part of, to the young adult missionaries, and that's one of the things that's so important. We've got to make room for the young people, amen? We can't be intimidated by their presence. We've got to encourage, embrace, and make sure they know the way and that they know our God, amen? So we've got to love on them, encourage them, and the YPDers, you are awesome in all your ways. Keep singing. One of the things that's important when I talk to the young people, when I was at YPDer, they taught me how to stand up in front of people. Because in this world, you're going to have to stand up and speak. You're going to have to know how to present yourself in a public setting. And there's no better place than in the church. Amen? So young people, when they ask you to read a scripture, when they ask you to preside, when they ask you to sing a song, don't be afraid, because the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But that's my training ground. And I do believe Reverend Dr. Middleton, YPDer, they pushed us and they made us who we are. So when we get out into the real world, we're not that scared, amen? So young people, take your place. Do all you can for God, amen? Now, to the Charleston Southern University, to the representatives, to the students. You all make me want to be a part of the Charleston Southern. Because no matter where we go, we are strategically placed for impact if we're a Christian. We are strategically placed to make an impact. And I can't say that MUSC has such a Christian foundation, but I am a Christian, and I do represent Christ every day of my life while I work there. Amen. So I just want to thank you all, and to all of the people here. We are all God's people, and we are God's children, and we are a part of God's great family. Amen. Family is God's great design. And when we have been adopted into the royal priesthood, you're my sister, you're my brother. And it doesn't matter what color we are. Amen. It matters that we serve a risen Savior. Amen. So I just want to share with you a few thoughts, and I won't be before you very long at all. I do have to talk about the missionaries, amen, of which I am a very happy part of. But one of the things I just want to talk about is doing mission work is key to showing the love of God in our daily lives. So we just don't put on these blue and white outfits just for nothing. We have work to do. Amen, missionaries? We don't come into a church to fight. We come into a church to work. Whatever is supposed to be done, we need to get it together, organize, and plan and implement, and we need to mobilize and make an impact. Amen? There is no time for us to lose ground. Amen? We can't get caught up into drama. We must make sure that we are about our Father's business. So I just want to share with you about a life that really did make an impact for God. And it's found, the story is found in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And I'm just going to leave with you all two verses. I'm sorry, 3 verses. 1 Samuel 17, 48 through 50 is three verses. And I just want to share with you about someone who was mission-minded and mission-driven, and his name was David. He was mission-minded and mission-driven. His name is David. So it's lessons from the life of David. And I'm going to read the scripture in one moment. But I want to tell you all that David was a great missionary. We celebrate missionaries on the fifth Sunday in a lot of AME church experiences. But it's very important that we don't forget about doing the work. We just don't come and sit on a pew. We've got work to do in our daily lives. Your work cannot be my work because you're in a different place than I am. But nevertheless, we are to do the work. So David was working. He was doing the work that God called him to do. He was a shepherd boy. And one of the things that's very important, mission work is about seeing a need and meeting it, hearing a cry and responding to it, seeing the hurt and healing it. Mission work is about looking outside of ourselves and seeing how we can help others. Mission work is about looking outside of ourselves and seeing and identifying how we can help others. Mission work is really not about getting your name called, because they're not always going to call your name, but you cannot stop working, amen? For we've got to remember in whom we're serving. If we're serving God, in the end, the Bible says that we will stand before a just God, and hopefully we will hear servant of God, well done. We won't hear the titles. We won't hear the titles. We won't hear the titles. But we hopefully will hear servant of God, well done. David did what was asked of him, and David knew his God. Missionaries, we've got to know our God. Amen? So I'm going to just read a few verses for your hearing. 1 Samuel 17, verses 48 through 50. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk within his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David, but David drew a sword and made sure Goliath was dead. Now, we all heard about the story of David and Goliath, right? Let me just lift up. Can I just tell the story again for you? I like to tell stories because this is a good one. Amen? So David, this shepherd boy that we know a lot about, David was actually doing his work with the sheep. And David was not involved with the armies of Israel. But it so happened that David went to his father one day, and his father had asked David to take some items to the battlefield. So David was obedient to his father, and David just went on to the battlefield. And what was going on in the battlefield was that there was a giant named Goliath. And the Bible says that Goliath was like 9 feet, 6 inches tall. Have y'all ever met an NBA player? They're 7 feet. I met them. They're real tall. But imagine someone who is 9 feet tall, almost 10 feet tall. So David was on his way after his father had told him to just take some items to the battlefield. But what was going on in that situation was the Philistine, who was the giant, he was bullying the armies of Israel morning and night for 40 days. He presented himself for 40 days to the army of Israel, taunting them, bullying them. The Bible says that King Saul was there, and they were on a mountain. All of the Philistines and the giant were on one mountain, and then the army of Israel was on another mountain, and the Bible says there was a valley in between. Now, why would you think the Bible talks about the valley? Because David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So imagine, David already knew this circumstance may have come. So he talked about in Psalm 23, he talked about, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil," because David was going to come upon the presence of an evil giant. So here we see David going to the battlefield. Now remember, 40 days, this giant was bullying young people. People can bully you, but do not listen, because God will protect you, amen? So now, we see that the giant is out there. David is going to do what he was supposed to do, and he walked up upon this situation, and he said, "What is going on?" And of course, his brother said, "Why did you even come here?" See, sometimes your own people, your own family will try to discourage you. And all David did was, in a situation, he was like, "What is going on?" That's all he said. And here we see that his brother, it says his eldest brother, Eliab, his anger was kindled against David. Now, they're scared to fight the giant. Here's David just saying, "What's going on?" And here he responded with an angry response. David said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" Mission-minded and mission-driven. Is there not a cause? Why are we here? What are we doing? David was only trying to assess the situation. Here, David said, "Well, what's going to happen to someone who will stand up and fight this giant?" So everybody was like, "Who, David?" And young people, I did a little research. It says that David was about 15 years old. He was about 15 years old. Here's a youth who's going to step up to fight a giant. when grown men have already backed up. Let me tell you about David. David was a shepherd boy. David had the responsibility of caring for sheep. They said that sheep is one of the dumbest animals. David also had a recollection of when the lion and the bear came to get his sheep. He fought the lion and he fought the bear. And he had a personal relationship with God because he knew God would protect him. So David had a very good relationship with God, and he knew that God would give him power to stand. So he said, I'll fight him. Now remember, this Philistine giant was arrayed. He was dressed in battle gear. He was dressed in armor. And when you go home, read this, because there's a whole lot of points here I just don't have time to make. But I want you all to understand, young people, that there are some giants in the land, and you don't have to bow to them. There are some giants in the land. You don't have to bow, young people. There are some giants in the land, and you don't have to bow. I'm not that old, so I've been through college, and I never lost my faith in college. One of the greatest things is getting to know who God is in college. The Bible says if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And whenever you're in a situation, whenever you're in a difficult circumstance, God will guide you and he will lead you. And even when you're in a difficult situation because you didn't do all that you were supposed to do, God's mercy will prevail. Amen? Because the key is David didn't do everything he was supposed to do. David messed up. But God doesn't throw us away if we mess up. Man might, but God won't. Amen? We can always come back to God and get in a right relationship with him. Amen? So now let me haste along and tell you about this situation. So Saul is going to acknowledge David's presence and say, okay, you want to fight him? Here, I'm going to give you some armor. So King Saul is going to put some armor on David, because he agreed to fight this giant. So all they know is to dress up in battle gear. Little did they know that David was already armed and dangerous, because he was covered by the power of God. And he had a spiritual protection, and Goliath had physical protection. I'd rather have the spiritual protection from Almighty God. Amen? So they tried to put on all of these things on David, the helmet, the brass on his head, a coat of mail. They tried to put on all of that on David. David said, take these off. I haven't even proven them. I can't do it. So David went and he found a bag, a shepherd's bag, and it says he got 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, and he had a sling in his hand. Now, imagine Goliath in full battle array. And here's David, already took off the battle gear and went and got 5 smooth stones. I'm telling you, you got to use what you got. Amen? You've got to use what you've got. And the thing is, I imagine that if David had put on the battle gear, he would have probably fell down and could have gotten defeated. So one of the things that David did, he used what was in his hands. And David had a hand sling. It said it was braided hemp. And David used the sling as a weapon. And he picked up one of those smooth stones because they were all set for battle. And he picked up one of the stones. And one of the things that's very important is when he was approaching Goliath, the Bible says he started running. See, that's courage. Because when you know that God is with you, you don't have to move slow. You can move fast. Because I do believe that God was before David. And then when David picked up, the Bible says, the sling, and he was slinging it, and it landed right in the forehead of Goliath, and Goliath fell down, and Goliath died. One of the things that we must remember, David was obedient to God. He met a situation and faced his fear. But one of the things that I do believe that we've got to remember that there was opposition from his own family. Remember, everybody will not celebrate you, but you've got to stay focused. Because if you're mission-minded and mission-driven, let no one take you off your mission. Let no one get you off of your goal. And there are times now that you have been called to do something. Let no one. David was called to defeat Goliath. I believe that only David could have done that because why? God wanted to demonstrate his power because God had already ordained David to be king of Israel. This is the first situation that David encountered, and so all eyes were on David. All eyes were on David now. So you cannot be discouraged if they don't celebrate you. Stay focused. Don't let anyone discourage you. Stay focused. Why? His elder brother was right there. David could have said, maybe I should go home, but he didn't. He said, is there not a cause? You've got to do what God called you to do. You've got to go where God calls you to go. The Bible says that if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. The Bible says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. One of the things that's so important about this situation is that David was dressed, and he was prepared because he had a relationship with God. That's one of the things that you have to have in mission work. You've got to know God. And your greatest mission, missionaries, is prayer. We've got to stop walking around like we're doing it. We cannot do that because the Bible says God's name is jealous. And we cannot act like it's all about us. It's all about God. I don't care how many degrees you get. I don't care how many positions and titles and accolades. It doesn't matter. Because at the end, we represent who? We represent the kingdom. And we represent God. So that's one of the things that's so important. When we have a mission that has been designed from heaven, and our mission is to spread the love of God in every place that we go. And we're in different places in this world. There are some places that you're employed in, we can let our light shine. There are some places, there are some relationships, we can let our light shine. I love the fact that David didn't get angry with his brother. The Bible says anger resteth in the bosoms of fools. The Bible says anger resteth in the bosoms of fools. Don't let anybody get you so angry that it takes you off of your mission. Why? Because when you're angry and you're into some type of discord and confusion, you're missing your mission. Amen? Amen? When you're in a lot of drama on the telephone, you're missing your mission. And I'm telling you, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. What is it? Destroy the mission. Come on, look in the life of David. If he had allowed his fear to get in front of him, it would have destroyed the mission. If he'd allowed his brother's words to get him off of his focus, he would have got off track and he would not have fulfilled his mission. We don't have much time now. You know, I remember when we were younger, my daddy used to scare the daylights out of me because he used to say, you know, the world gonna end. And I was a young girl then. I don't know, no man knows, but he used to tell us that we have to be ready when he comes. And they used to sing a song, I'm from the country, and they used to sing, don't let him catch you with your work undone. So you cannot get caught up into anything. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about this story. David had something to do, and he did it. Missionaries, we've got work to do and we've got to do it. Because at the end of the day, we don't know when our moment will come. But what have we done? If we're working in the school system, tell the young kids they can do it. Don't ever tell a child they can't, because they will live out those words. I work with medical students, and I'm honored to do so. And I often tell folk, I do believe that's one of the greatest callings is to work with students, because they'll tell you everything. And they're beautiful people. But when they come in and tell them, like, they'll come in and tell you the whole story why they can't do something and why they just feel like this is just not the best place for them. And there's a young lady who wanted to give up in med school. She had some challenges, and she wanted to walk away. And she said, well, so-and-so told me this. Maybe this is not for me. Maybe this is not the right path for me. And I said, maybe it is the right path for you. Sometimes you got to go right back with, because people want to be discouraged. I don't know if y'all ever met people who just want to be in a zone of discouragement. But you have got to respond with a word of encouragement. Amen? If we're children of God, we're hearing about the defeat. Why don't we speak life? Why don't we speak life and victory and hope? Because the world, you can see all kind of negativity, but why don't we speak positivity? Because the Bible says in our tongue there's life and death. Why don't we speak life? And that's what I do believe that David did. David spoke to himself. And then I do believe David reflected on all of the hills and the mountains and the valleys and all of the experiences he went through. This young lady came in one day and was ready to leave school. And I said, if you're called to something, you can't get rid of a call. If you're called to be a doctor, you won't be happy doing anything else. And young people, God has placed purpose in your life. He didn't fashion you for just because he just wanted to do something. There is something he's calling you to do, young people. Let no one take you off your mission. Let no one take you off your course. This young lady is now a board-certified internal medicine physician, and she was featured in a national magazine by developing a model program to help persons with renal failure. Now, what if she had walked away? What if she had walked away? Now she calls and she wants to give back. She wants to do scholarships. And one of the things that's key is that you don't just get blessed for you. You get blessed to help someone else. So it doesn't matter where we go in life. We've got to remember that God has strategically placed us for purpose and to make sure that we're fulfilling a mission. And the mission is to let our light so shine in this dark world. Because when a light is shining, it will draw. If we shine our light, we will make a positive impact in this world. And that's one of the things that's so awesome about David. David made a positive impact. And that's why we've got to remember that we've got to stay mission-minded and mission-driven no matter what. Now, I do believe David had a song at the end of the circumstance. God will give you a song, amen? And I do believe it could have gone sort of like this. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? Oh, where? Come on and sing it if you know it. And if it had not
such a soul-stirring message. If there's one who would like to be saved, we invite you to come down. If you don't have a church home and you would like to join this church, we invite you to come. We invite all of Charleston Southern and College of Charleston students to come for a word of prayer at this time. All of our students from Charleston Southern and College of Charleston.
Tell me where.
Come on down. All students. Turn and face me. Just come close to the altar, as close as you can get.
Tell me where.
If there are others who would like a word of prayer, we invite you to come. Where would I? You all are extra special people. You're super special. Because God has given you purpose. The praise dance was just enough to float us from here to glory. Based on the motions and movements and the articulation of the message contained even in the dance, it reminds us that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? College is tough. Life is rough. And from time to time, you have to stop and pray, because nobody knows like God exactly what your end is going to be. Sometimes you want to throw in the towel. Sometimes you want to just give it all in. But as the preacher woman has said, you got to see this thing through to the very end. The darkest hour is just before day. And you never can tell. Your breakthrough could be right on the other side of you going through. Have you ever been through anything? Have you ever been through anything? Are you going through anything right now? I know exams are upon you. I know the end of the semester continues to bring its own unique stressors. But we're just going to say a word of prayer. So we invite you to draw near. Come close. Amen. God, we thank you. We thank you for faith, and for a faith that will not shrink. That even when Goliath comes to confront us, we can stand with faith to say the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Because we recognize we serve a God who is able. And by virtue of us calling on his name, God can work out our problems. So we pray now for these, our young leaders, this generation that will begin to influence and impact and inform this world. Touch these young people, oh God, so that they will not be destroyed, but they will excel. Recognizing that you have a purpose and a plan for them. Let them know and see that they are beautiful. And through you, they can do all things. Help them on their journey. Help them see the way so that they will not be clouded by the distractions that sometimes get in all of our way. Help them, oh God, as they pursue jobs and careers, so that they may be strategically placed, as the woman of God said, so that their light can shine brightly wherever they go. And then, Father, look at these brothers who are around this altar. Many of them, especially in the black community, have already been labeled a statistic. But God, by virtue of them being where they are today, they have already overcome the odds. And for that, we say, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we don't recognize how blessed we are, just by virtue of staying the course and remaining positive and keeping the faith.
thank you for these young ladies around this altar who didn't allow the beguiling whisper of the enemy to come in their ear and take them off course. Keep them focused, oh God, so that they might be able to see their own worth. And even when somebody has broken their hearts, don't let them break their spirit. Let them be able to get up and realize that there is still yet another day. And even if one falls by the wayside, you'll raise up another one who will be able to value them in their virtue and honor them in their personhood. And then God bless even those who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We call the name of Yvette Stroud, who lost her sister-in-law. Bless that family, oh God. Touch, heal, and deliver. We ask that you touch everyone around this altar, not knowing specifically why they've come, but asking you generally, oh God, to bless them indeed. Any way you fix it, God, we'll be satisfied. Bless the food we're about to receive for the nourishment of our bodies. Turn it into energy so that we can be on a mission for you, doing that which you have called us, and work while it's day. And then, God, when we leave this place today, we ask that you make our walk a little straighter, our talk cleaner. We ask, oh God, that you lead us in a pathway that leads to virtuous life. We bless you right now because we recognize, oh Heavenly Father, that we have more ahead of us than we have behind us. And so we thank you in Jesus' name for your grace and your mercy, for your love and for your loving kindness. Thank you, God, when we could have been destroyed, for keeping the pieces together in our lives. And we give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the first thing I want you to do is clap your hands around this altar because you all are living testimonies. Amen. Whether you know it or not, even those who are about to graduate, you ought to give God an extra clap because had it not been for God to get you to this point, you would not have made it. And you ought to give God an advance praise because with your degree, he's going to help you make a difference. Amen. He's going to open some doors. He's going to give you a career so that you can go out and be a vital part of society so that the lives that you touch, you will change because God has touched you and God has changed your life. Amen? Now hug somebody around this altar and let them know it's going to be all right. Yeah. I dare somebody to clap their hands and tell God, thank you. It's going to be all right. I dare somebody to clap their hands in the audience like you know what I'm talking about. It's gonna be all right. We're gonna make it. Yes, we will. That's nothing but love. I love that. That's nothing but love. You gotta encourage one another. Hallelujah. Because as the preacher woman said, there's enough discouragement out there in the world that will stop you in your tracks. But be encouraged. Allow the mercies of God to push you forward. And even when you fall, you stumble, God's hand can pick you right back up. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Reverend. Our admissions person, thank you.